You're listening to the What's Happening in Stage Lighting podcast with David and JP. They'll be giving you tips, tricks, ideas, news on new gear, but most importantly, help you create great lighting.
Welcome to episode 3003 of What's Happening in Stage Lighting. In this episode, we discuss the brand new Martin Mac Viper LED and its specifications. We take a look at some new fixtures that were launched from ADJ and ETC. A brand new truss from Megalight featuring their Tetra Color system and some additional fixtures in their Lightpipe range. Let's dive in. David, welcome back. I haven't seen you in a while. You've been out and about for quite some time, so good to see you back, man.
Absolutely. Good to see you as well.
You've also been sick, so finally we get some time to get together and shoot another podcast. It's actually funny seeing you at home, seeing that it's ProLight and Sound. I thought you would have also went over to ProLight and Sound.
No, man, we're cheapskates. We're not paying to fly to Europe. I mean, maybe, but, you know, with everything in a small business, you got to decide what's worth going to and what's not. And it's just, you know, it's a whole deal flying to Europe and spending time there. And we just don't have time for that in this season.
That's a good hint for someone to sponsor a airplane ticket with David to go to ProLight and Sound. But I've seen some new fixtures coming up at ProLight and Sound, quite some cool stuff from a few of the guys. And in our previous podcast, I think it was the last one we spoke about some laser fixtures, and Ayrton just launched the Kyalami fixture, which is also a laser source fixture, which I thought was quite cool. I haven't really checked out specs on it. I just saw some guys sharing the post on Facebook. So that was something cool that I saw, seeing that we were talking about laser fixtures, as well as the local racetrack in South Africa is called Kyalami. So, quite funny to me.
Huh? Yeah, they got it from you.
I'm actually opening it up now on my PC. It's a weird looking fixture. No, well, it is a weird looking fixture, to be honest. Can you see it on your side? Did you open it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've got it. Yeah,
it's quite an interesting. It looks sort of like the ADJ Z4 in circular format.
Right. So, yeah, it's essentially, Ayrton's had one for years. I mean, not that many years, but a while, called the Magic Dot. And it's that same format, but it's now in a laser fixture. And I bet this thing is like insanely bright. I mean, I can tell it is from the specs, but it's definitely interesting because they chose to go with a white source instead of an RGB, and it has CMY color mixing, but it has a 1 degree beam coming out of it, and that's where it gets insane, because I mean, making a beam of light that tight is not easy, and not a lot of people do it. I wish there was some video on the thing, but I know when we see it, Ayrton definitely doesn't. They generally don't have flops. All of their fixtures are really well engineered. You pay for them, but you pay for that. But they're definitely really good quality, and I bet this thing is just insanely bright for something that, what I mean is, it'll fit in pretty much in the palm of your hand. They're very small, and it only weighs, I guess it weighs closer to 20 or so pounds. But yeah, JP's got a picture too. So yeah, it's stupid bright.
It's insanely bright. We're looking at a picture that was posted on Facebook, and it's crazy bright. There's a short little video on the Ayrton website, but not really a lot of it in action yet. But I'm quite excited to see a bit more of it in the near future. I see here's a little demo video someone posted with the Kyalamis in action, and they are insanely bright. And super narrow, as you said, 1 degree beam. I missed that part of the 1 degree beam. That's super tight.
Yeah, and it's for something that's that small, it's way more brightness than any LED could ever get out of a light engine that's so tiny and such a small front lens. And so it's just, you know, it's just, it is what we said. It's very tight. It's very, very narrow. You know, it's definitely a cool fixture.
One other thing we also spoke about, which I had some speculation on what it's going to be, this one's not elation. However, the Martin Mac Viper XIP that we spoke about, where there was this big thing about we're not sure what it's going to be, and it's the new Viper in LED format, and I think it's IP rated, seeing that it's XIP.
Yes, so... Yeah, and IP ratings get interesting. So what they did basically, and I had some foreknowledge of this, is they've made it, it's actually technically IP54 rated. I mean, so the thing with IP ratings, first of all, is that essentially, you know, every IP rating means something in terms of the first number being dust protection and the second number being water protection. That being said, IP ratings, from everything I understand, are essentially self-administered by the manufacturer. So the manufacturer of any light, when they give you an IP rating, is something that the manufacturer came up with. They said it meets these specs. We tested it. You know, here you go. But the kind of danger in that is that, especially from, shall we say, less scrupulous brands, you're going to see fixtures that claim a higher IP rating than they may technically have. And for somebody like Martin, it's kind of the opposite of that, where it is, I believe, IP54, I think is what it came out to be. Something like that. It's not the typical 65 you see people slap on everything. But they've noted that in testing and whatnot, they leave them outdoors on stages for weeks on end, and they're absolutely fine. So that's the interesting thing about it. What I've always loved about Martin, and then I'll ask your thoughts on it, is basically, you know, they always think of everything from scratch, right? So, you know, it's optimized for both indoor and outdoor use, but what they thought to do is basically do a lower IP rating than most people would do for an outdoor fixture. And what that does for this is it means that it's the same weight as the previous Mac Viper, as the old school lamp-based version. I say old school, it's really not old. I remember when they were new, which might make me old. But what it does is, instead of going to an IP65 just to kind of hit that spec and put it on the sheet and match what everybody else does, they said, you know what, let's make it good enough to be outside, but hit a weight that is pretty much unheard of in this size of fixture in an LED. You know, not even counting the waterproofness, it's pretty lean for how bright it is. And then it also happens to be waterproof, which is super cool.
Yes. So for me, I'm just a little bit confused. On my screen now, I see the light source is 760 watts of proprietary LED light engine. But right below that, it says 55 times 20 watt white LEDs. But so 55 times 20 is like 1,100.
And probably what that, again, that probably means that Martin is doing the thing that a lot of less scrupulous brands might not do. And so when you put LED engines in fixtures, like a lot of the time, they're not running at full because it helps with the cooling, it helps with the efficiency, it helps them to generally last longer. So engineering departments generally, a lot of times, are not running the LEDs at their fullest power level. So I'm pretty sure that's what's going on there is, you know, it's an 1100 watt LED source, but they're running it at 760 watts. And they're actually telling you that, which, you know, I mean, again, it doesn't really matter because the light output, the lumens and or foot candles or lux measurements are a better indicator of brightness, though nothing's perfect. They do just tell you, like, hey, you know, this is the wattage of the LEDs, but this is what you actually get out of it. And so you can see both.
What I like about Martin is they've always got this little small thing they'll put onto the design. For instance, I can see the tilt lock on the head is yellow, which I think cool. It's a little something different on the design. It's not full on black, which just makes it a little bit interesting.
And easy to find. Yeah.
You know, one thing I like as well is that they've got NFC technology built into these fixtures. So they're releasing an app soon that you can do all your addressing personalities. I'm sure you can do some fault finding as well if something's wrong with the app and run all your stuff. So that's also something cool. I've used fixtures that have that capabilities, but I haven't used it. But I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that use those functions to do certain things. Have you ever used the NFC stuff on fixtures?
Not outside of just seeing it at a trade show. For people that, you know, change the addresses a lot on site, it can be helpful. They typically, the NFC chips on fixtures typically work even when the fixture's not powered. So you can set stuff up that's not powered, which is awesome. Not that, I mean, fixtures have that built in too with just the regular LCD. I mean, I think once it becomes more mainstream, or just if you're a company that has a bunch of these, like it is a whole lot nicer on a show to just walk around and address it by tapping it with your phone versus leaning over, you know, bending down, kneeling, whatever, to get to the right height to see the screen. And so, yeah, the ETC stuff does it too. I think those are the only ones. But yeah, I mean, the thing is, like you were saying with Martin, is they really do, especially with the Mac line, but even their other stuff, they are, every fixture they make is really well thought out. And we've recently become Martin dealers. We're getting them added to the site as we speak. And what you'll find is, I would say always, if you see a Martin fixture that could potentially fit into your lighting system and you want to compare it to others, just ask us to do so. Ask us to quote it out. You never know, you might be surprised as to, you know, where the prices sit once we quote it out. It varies, again, by order, by type, but, you know, that's just something to be aware of, something to think about, because it's, you know, the display prices between different brands are not always equal in the sense of how much is behind the scenes. And so, you know, always get it quoted out so that we can, you know, calculate shipping, look at it, and give you your personalized price.
Another cool fixture that was launched, which is, I think, it's just a newer version of something that's already available, is the new ETC Color Source Pod Junior on that topic of ETC. And something I see that did was two different color array options where you've got just the original
blue, and then
a deep blue.
I hate that. I absolutely hate that. Have you ever used that or worked with the place that had that?
No.
So it's so annoying because you have twice the number of DMX profiles for the light to sort through. And number two, it's like if a company bought into one, like they buy into the deep blue, but then you end up using it for front light, then it's not quite as amazing as you'd want it to be. And I don't know. I personally hate the two light engine thing because I think they got rid of it in their higher end fixtures. But that's my opinion. But what do you like about this thing?
I don't know. I saw it's a new fixture. It's output's not bad. It's almost 2,500 lumens, 2,300 lumens, and it's super small. So it's tiny, nice and tiny for front light. And it's a fanless design, so it's super quiet, especially
for theater
stuff. And it's got PowerCon in and through, and it's RDM capable. You can do RDM with it, so I think for the theater stuff, this is a really cool and small fixture that, so me, theater, I actually had this discussion with someone on Learn Stage Lighting Labs earlier this week where we were discussing footlights. And for me, the most important thing is not really to be able to see the fixture, where if you go and put a Mythos or a Point on stage, it's this massive light that's on stage. So you want something small, something powerful, something bright, and something quiet. So if you go and try and put a Mythos in a theater, it's going to sound like the whole building's moving if you're panning six of them left and right. That was the cool thing, I think, is the fanless thing stood out to me, and as well as the RDM stuff.
Indeed, yeah. I mean, there's lots of fanless PARs out there, but, you know, a fanless PAR is always good. I hate the two light engine thing. It drives me crazy because then if people have like a mixed rig of fixtures and they go to rearrange things, they got to consider it. And it just, I don't know. It annoys me. Like, I'm sure it's fine, but it's just not my cup of tea.
Because It's also like I've always got this thing when I go to shows, then everybody would put every light in like the extended mode or mode 5, then you've got like 100 channels for a stupid light and you gain nothing really. Like with this, you know, it's cool to have a little bit of a different blue and a magenta and stuff like that, but I can probably mix that.
That's the thing is, yeah. I mean, ETC's always been really theater-centric where designers get super picky as opposed to music where people, you know, don't get as picky about it. I mean, sure, there's some parts of the color space that each can get to that the other can't. But I just, yeah, it's just, I don't know. It doesn't excite me that much. It's definitely the right thing for some people. It definitely is, but not for everybody.
Some new polls that's also been launched on the bar topic is also the Electropix stuff from Eddie J. I don't know if you saw that somewhere.
We did. We saw it at LDI.
Oh, was it at LDI?
It was, yeah, yeah. I think it's closer to shipping now, like a lot of these brands do, which also drives me insane, as much as I love ADJ, is, you know, they introduce stuff and then they don't really have a good ETA on when it's coming out or it's going to be 4 to 6 months. And that drives me crazy. I hate that. I wish things, I mean, everybody does it. And so to stay on top of the game, you kind of have to put stuff out at trade shows that's not ready yet, but it drives me crazy. I want, if something's being released at a trade show, I want it to be available within like a month, but I know that that's just not reality because everybody does it. And so because everybody does it, everybody does it. And the circle keeps going round and round and round.
So one thing that, well, two things that are standing out to me on this poll is firstly the strobe. So the frequency on the strobe, they can do super slow, so 0.3 hertz, but they can't do that fast. They're doing like 11 hertz. That's what fixtures and shutters can do. And most bars that I see around, you can do at least 20 hertz. So that's quite something different. And then I see they've got like this, almost like the aura on the Martin stuff, that you can also light up the area around the LEDs.
Yeah, and that's actually something I've noticed in a lot of fixtures recently as they come out, is that the trend, which of course follows Ayrton because they're often a trend leader, is that background LED type stuff and stuff that colors lenses and lights is becoming more opaque. You know, it's becoming more like white and less clear, if that makes sense. It catches the light more and almost, you know, I don't know. At first I thought it looked cheesy, but I guess it's just the way things are going. And so we can either get with it or not. But it does, it kind of fills the lens a little more than previous older type. It's a little more even, I guess, in how it does it.
See, it's got a built-in alarm. So you can go to bed too, then it can wake you up tomorrow morning.
Exactly, exactly. That's something they've done in the last few renditions of various wireless battery-powered PARs. And it's kind of cool. You can turn it on, and if somebody picks it up, it starts going off. I know people that do DJ, you know, weddings, stuff like that, sometimes have issues with fixtures walking off, and that stinks. And so that's a way to get around it, for sure.
You see, the bracket's a bit different than what we used to.
Yeah. It's almost like it has like a little kickstand, like little feet that come out instead of doing a full piece across the front. I don't really know what that does. I mean, I think it's fine, but I don't know if that has any advantage. I've touched them. They were at LDI and it didn't feel flimsy. So that's good.
And then did you see, and I did not know they've been around this long, but Capture just celebrated 30 years in the industry.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I mean, you think about like 3D graphics and stuff. And I mean, I first bought Capture around like 2012. So that's like 12 years ago. And it was fairly basic then. But I mean, the fact that they're saying that they had a visualizer for sale, I guess, 20 years before that or 18 years before that, is pretty incredible that it was around that early. And I mean, we love Capture here. Like, it's such a good visualizer and so well priced, and they have such a generous upgrade policy that we love those guys definitely get those licenses for a lot of people.
So I see, this is sort of a little bit out of the industry, but I see they are now trying to incorporate this into the audio industry as well, where you can, they'll incorporate auto pan, where the stuff follows you around in a little space.
Okay. From Roby.
So it's not from Roby. It's from some other audio company, but I just saw it. And I was actually thinking about these follow, I think it's called the Follow Me or something from Roby. But have you used something like that? Do you think it's worthwhile to invest into something like that?
Yeah.
So
there's a variety of follow spotting apps and systems out there these days. They're not cheap. It's not cheap to do well. That's for sure. But there's basically two types of systems out there, right? There's ones where actual humans follow the person on stage, much like a follow spot. And that can happen, it always happens through cameras, but like the Roby one looks more like a traditional spotlight, where you hold on to it like a traditional follow spot. You can see the camera, you point it at the person. There's one called Follow Me that you were talking about that uses a mouse, basically a 3D mouse, and you're on a computer and you're following somebody that way. Those systems are great and generally, though also not cheap, are cheaper than the full-on auto tracking. Then there's full-on auto tracking systems. I know BlackTracks has one. There's one called ZackTracks. And there's a couple others out there where the person actually wears a tracker and the system follows them. They're going to be the most expensive, but they do work. They definitely work. There's a lot that goes into them to be able to really map things out. None of these systems, but especially the full-on tracking systems, are not just as simple as throwing on a transmitter onto a person on stage, and then it just follows. Like there is setup involved to make it work right, but it definitely can be a worthwhile venture, especially for spaces that use a lot of follow spot, where the operators are either in a dangerous position, they're up high and have to have to clip in and use a lot of wear a harness and use a lot of safety protocols. A lot of times they'll have pretty dangerous ladders that are just straight up for 50 feet, and you've got to have a fall arrest system and all that stuff. These kind of systems, if you're replacing that sort of thing plus big traditional follow spots, then it's a no-brainer in terms of cost. If you're, in a church, in a school, in a smaller space where, there's not some dangerous way to get to where you might follow spot, then, it's not going to win on cost most of the time. But these systems, whether auto tracking or one where an operator is tracking via camera, which Alation has a new layout for that. But with either type of those systems, you do get better capabilities in the sense that you can now take any fixture in your lighting rig, typically use it as a spot, have the person at the lighting console doing all sorts of things, changing colors and size and turning it on and off. All completely from DMX and InQs and whatnot, so it gives you a lot more functionality than just a regular follow spot.
Yes. I saw that that thing from Alation. I didn't see what it was called. But it seems like you can use it with any fixture.
Yeah. So I don't think they've launched a lot of details on it, but it's essentially a camera that's actually built into a fixture, which is smart. That's a very bright, follow spot oriented, arena size type fixture. But I haven't seen any details yet onto how it sends the video signal back, et cetera. I would kind of hope that they could do it over NDI to just run a single network cable to your fixtures, as well as power, instead of having to use SDI or something. Obviously, it doesn't have to be super duper high quality. It has to be clear, but it doesn't have to be super high quality, but it does need to be a low latency. And I think that's about it.
Hey, anything else you saw recently that's new and upcoming?
You know, I think that's about all I've seen from the show so far. That's caught my eye. That's some of the things, same things that caught your eye definitely caught mine. But yeah, I think that's about all I got on there.
I saw a lot of LED screens come out, funny enough, but not necessarily stuff I would be interested in. Have you seen any LED screens from the guys we support that recently came out that are making waves? Or did you find something interesting?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't in LED screens, I haven't seen anything too exciting. Although I do remember one other product that I've seen now. So go to Megalight's site because they now have more light pipes. They have curved ones and they have a light truss. Where was I? Oh yeah, but in terms of LED screens, I mean, not really. Like it's, you know, things get marginally better every year, but as for anything like substantially awesome, not really. Like we have our DVS Visera. DVS kind of, they often introduce products not really based upon when a trade show happens, just when it's ready. And I mean, the Visera came out last year and now stock is really stabilized on it. So it doesn't go out of stock all the time, which is glorious. And I mean, their Visera is just such a really nice LED panel. Not that it's anything that's exceptionally new in an LED screen. It just, you know, works really well in video. It hits a really nice price point. And just has a lot of features that make it easy to put together. And so, yeah, let's talk about the Mega light truss and pipes. You may have to go to their Facebook. I think that's where I saw it. But Mega Light, because I haven't even seen prices on the new stuff yet as a dealer. But their light pipe is a fixture we've liked for a long time, since it came out last year sometime, because it's a structural pipe that can, you know, hang, connect to truss, hang lights off of, support real weight, but it has lights in it. It has LED strip in it, and it's weatherproof. And so now they've got a light truss, which is they're trussing basically in black with a single strip of this tape on it. And then they also have curved pieces of light pipe in various sizes. They're all a quarter circle, basically a 90 degree bend. And I think it's really cool. What do you think?
Truss is so cool. It's something that really looks cool. Sometimes it's dead weight on the stage. You can mount stuff to it, but sometimes you like need to have a support that's going upright. And you don't necessarily put lights in there unless you do something like up light in the truss or something. So now we've got that, it's built into your truss. Boom, done. The only question I have is, would you be able to mount fixtures on the side where the light is?
Yes.
Or would you only...
Yes, so that's what we really like about the light pipe is... They've taken a simple concept that people have done for years, right? Where people just take LED tape and stick it to truss, right? And use it for one event or use it in a church install or something like that. And they've actually made it, you know, ruggedized and load rated. So basically the light section is flush, it's flat with the outer round of the pipe, right? So the pipe is still perfectly round, just the same as always. I would recommend using, you know, coupler type clamps that wrap the pipe just so it doesn't get beat up. But then, you know, they do the magic per se on the inside so that the structure of the pipe, you know, continues on the inside. So it still is rated to carry weight and all that jazz. And then the lighting is in it, but all of that still is flush within the typical roundness of the pipe. So it doesn't stick out further. It's ruggedized to an extent. Like you still have to be careful with it, but it's pretty good. And so that's what really makes the light pipe different and interesting is the fact that you can set it up and tear it down and it's plenty rugged to do that. And use multiple times and it looks really slick. It's what Megalight it's always been really good at is eye candy type stuff. That's always kind of been their sweet spot, is, you know, things that give you some brightness.
And the thing is, sticking like tape to the truss really looks like home built. Where what I like about this is it doesn't look cheap. It looks cool. It's going to work. It's going to have DMX. It's made to be like that. It's not like people that go and try and do something and stick stuff to truss or stick it to the ramp or whatever it might be. Where this looks really cool. And it's structurally strong as well, that you can actually rig stuff off of it, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, totally.
On another note, obviously we need to be able to control all this stuff. So I just scrolled a little bit down on their Facebook site and I see they actually have a console as well called the Mega Console. Have you seen this thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's, you know, it's, I wouldn't say it's the best at anything. It's pretty expensive too. It's, you know, they've run me through it a number of times. And it's like, it's fine. It's, you know, like anything in the market, like it's totally fine. It's, you know, it's okay. Like the software's not mind-blowingly amazing. It's fine. You know, their thing is that they have like three different pieces of software that you can run on it if you're doing like band stuff versus DJ stuff versus, you know, just general lighting. And I mean, it's an okay console. It's just, it's, you know, being the thing about consoles when it's from a smaller company like this is it's just, it's not quite as well developed and quite as nice as more popular consoles. And that's not to say that it's not right for some people. I just, I haven't gotten on board with it myself. And, you know, maybe I'm missing something, but they've run through stuff with it before for us. And I just, you know, it's okay and it's fine, but it's not like mind blowing to me.
I think that's sort of it from me. Have you got anything else on your side?
Not really. No, it's just, we're just getting back into the swing of things. Like you said, after doing some trade shows, being busy and then getting sick, because that's what happens when you do trade shows and been busy. but always excited to see what people are doing. Always excited to help people on their projects over at Learn Stage Lighting Gear. And everything else we do is we, you know, continue adding more and more brands, more audio, which is exciting.
Check 1, 2.
Oh my goodness. People can't count to three. Yeah.
Yeah, because on three, you need to lift. And we don't like to lift. So that's why we don't count to three.
That's right. Three is when you have to lift something heavy.
David, thanks, man. It's been great chatting to you again. It's great having you back in the office and to be able to record a podcast. And we'll see you guys next week again. So stay tuned. Check out our YouTube sites. Check out Learn Stage Lighting Labs. And let us know what you want to hear. If you guys have got some recommendations or some certain stuff you want to chat about, please feel free to send us a mail in the description below. We'll attach all that information. So feel free to reach out to us. David, thanks, man. Have a great day and chat to you soon.
You too, JP. See ya.
Thank you for listening to the What's Happening in Stage Lighting podcast. If you're interested in purchasing any gear, please visit our stage lighting store at learnstagelightinggear.com. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please listen to our other episodes on Apple, Spotify, or Google podcast platforms. Don't forget to grab our free beginner's guide to stage lighting on learnstagelighting.com. Learn Stage Lighting, helping you create great lighting.